What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. This edition of 411 Teen opens the second segment of Common Sense, a five-part series of 16-year-old international baccalaureate students from Rickards High School examining today's political climate and the 2016 presidential election. Common Sense is the brainchild of Hannah Kuros, who describes herself as a neo-millennial coming of age in an America where every incident of dissension is immortalized in the 24-hour news cycle. The Common Sense Project aims to create a radio forum for local teens from a diverse array of political affiliations, progressive, libertarians, Democrats, Republicans. The Common Sense panel seeks to maintain a substantive political dialogue addressing today's political climate and the presidential election of 2016. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Quinn Huckabee. Quinn is a 11th grade student in the IB program at Rickards, and he's into dance and physics and government and music.
Thank you for letting me on here.
Yeah,
once again.
Great to have you. Olivia Saunders. Olivia also hails from Rickards IB, 11th grade, international relations, music, and social justice are her things.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hannah Kuros, nothing else needs to be said. This is her brainchild, this whole program. She's in IB. She's 11th grade. Her thing is government, sustainability, and environmental studies.
Oh, yeah. Glad to be back. Glad to have this platform.
And Sarah Halbert, 11th grade, Rickards, diplomacy, writing.
Glad to be here.
Okay. This first segment, let's look at the political happenings of this past week, okay? I guess the big headliner is Donald Trump admits that President Obama was born in the United States.
Yes.
You know, the birther movement, I guess, is over. He says he finished it. Hillary started it, but he finished it. And what do you all say?
I think in other news, the sun is at the center. Rain falls from clouds. You know, it's so ridiculous that that's even an issue that's come to such prominence in the 2016 election. And, like, President Obama, he's released his long-form birth certificate. He's very obviously an American citizen. And I think it's too little too late from Donald Trump, and I feel like acknowledging this isn't going to earn him any brownie points with black voters, and that's he's fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. It's definitely not over. I know people who probably still don't think he was born in the United States. But also, like, half his demographic still believes that Obama was not born in the United States, so I'm not sure that it really did that much harm to his campaign anyway.
I don't think it was ever really a question that, like Hannah said, he was born in the United States. He's not anti-America. He did a very hard thing when it came to Osama bin Laden. That was something very courageous for a president to do. And it takes someone who knows what they're doing to do that. I think that Donald Trump was kind of not really thinking when he said that, and then he had to go with it. And now I think that now that he's finally solidifying his plan, that he's starting to take out those things which were absolutely ridiculous. And so I think it's a good thing. We're finally starting to see a little bit of separation into parties and a little bit of, you know, actual election material.
Okay.
All right. Honestly, like, I don't understand why that was a hot point. I mean, what does it really matter where Obama came from? I mean, he's already president, so there's not much we can do anymore. So it's just like he's just reaching for anything. I don't understand. I think it really speaks to the strength of the Obama presidency that, I think though there are substantial like policy issues that you can criticize Barack Obama for, to bring his citizenship into question signifies that there isn't that much that he knows that he can convince black voters that he did wrong, which means that I think, you know, he did like a pretty bang up job as a president. And I think a lot of it is rooted in just like the racism and the division that we see just constantly bubbling up, not necessarily within the Trump presidency, like not presidency, Trump candidacy itself, but within his base. So it's not surprising. He definitely shouldn't be applauded for like admitting the truth 8 years late. Yeah. It's just he started the movement. Even if he's ending it now, he's still a ridiculous, outlandish person for introducing it.
Well, I'll tell you all what blows my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, there were touting old, you know, Obama is not a citizen. He wasn't born in the United States, and he's a Muslim. You know, now I'm going to be honest with you. What difference does it make, even if he were a Muslim? I mean, we're supposed to have religious freedom, right?
Yeah.
So it's a, you all educate me. What was the purpose of that whole dialogue? I mean, what was the, maybe you're right. I mean, I think you were, but I just want to hear from the rest of you. You know, saying he was not born in the United States and that he was a Muslim. I mean, so what's the purpose? I mean, are we anti-Muslim? I mean, we could say, and he was a Jew, and he was a Protestant. I mean, it's the same to me. It's the same difference. Talk to him. Oh. Yeah.
I think that, especially with his sort of Donald Trump's fan base, they stigmatize other people. And of course they stigmatize other people. But I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know, the terrorist attacks that have been going on and that have happened in the past. I mean, you know, apparently I'm talking about 9/11 and stuff like that. I mean, we didn't really end up, or so a lot of people felt really wary about the Muslim population, and it doesn't make sense to do that, but some of them still are, and, like, saying that sort of connects Obama to, like, ISIS or something, so, which makes no sense.
But. He's the founder of ISIS.
Like, even if you believe that some of his policy statements and, like, actions have destabilized the Middle East, like, he's, like, super anti-ISIS and terrorism. He killed Osama bin Laden. We should be cool with him. It's just, I don't know,
but
Quinn.
Yeah, Quinn.
when it comes to terrorism, he's been pretty strongly against that, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people have even criticized him for going after it too hard. So I think that the reason people say that is there's a lot of people out there that think that the Muslim religion says that you have to commit acts like terrorist acts.
Terrorism. Yeah.
And we have to know that those are extremist groups. Those aren't. That is not the Muslim religion.
I know. That was my next comment.
It's not the Muslim religion.
That's not the Muslim religion. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, again, a lot of ignorant people who are acting on ignorance and fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same thing when you look at people of color. Or you look at gays. Or you look at whatever. Because here's a group that, for whatever reason, you may be in opposition with, or you may not agree with them. And so then you're going to stereotype and make all of them negative in some sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like, I don't know. I actually think it was a really, not that I agree with him in any way, but I think that it was a very good, like, publicity gimmick because.
Yeah, it was.
Like, what I've noticed is that the conservative media tends to always find something to attack liberals for. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say Fox News, but Fox News. and they seem to latch on to, like, very little things and just blow them way out of proportion. And I think, like, Barack Obama was not born in the United States was a very strong initial thing for them to latch on to, because anyone who subscribes to that kind of media can latch on to that and be like, yeah, Obama wasn't born in the United States. And it's also, like,
but it was also a real, real slap.
Oh, yeah.
At the first black president.
And just progress in general, I think.
Right.
Well, and I also think that insinuating that he was not born in the United States because he is not, like,
white.
A white Protestant, or not
yeah.
a white
yeah.
American.
Right.
I think that was a very I mean, if it's your goal to insinuate negative things about someone's race, I think, like, that was a very strong way of doing it because it wasn't, like, didn't sound very outwardly racist, but when you look into, like, the...
It had all the trappings of being in South Africa and apartheid. Yeah. He has turned over his papers and proved that, you know, he is who he says he is. Yeah, go on.
I just know that one thing that I really do admire is the grace with which President Obama handled it. Mm-hmm. Especially, I know during the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he said, "I've released my birth certificate. Let me release my birth video." And then he showed like Simba being held up in the Lion King. And he said, like, it's hard to be the president and still pray to Mecca 5 times a day, and where he's able to find the dignity to, poke fun at it. And I think one thing that really brought home how ridiculous it was is that, like, Ted Cruz is a man who wasn't born in the United States, and he's not a natural-born citizen. Well, I know the definition of natural-born is, like, there's a lot of ambiguity surrounding it.
Exactly.
But just the fact that no one questioned his citizenship when he was...
What? Donald Trump was, like, attacking...
On that one, too.
But I'm thinking of, like...
Nowhere to the same
Mitt degree. Romney is, I think, a good example, because he was born in Mexico, right? Or
Mitt Romney?
I thought he was. But he was, like, born to American parents, so it counted or something like that. Or it was, like, on American
born
mission.
With parents to American citizens.
And, like, constitutionally, I understand that it's important to make sure that, you know, the next president is natural-born and can, like, constitutionally be a president. But it was just... I feel like a low-handed attack at the Obama family in general, and I feel you're going to hear me praise Obama a lot because he's like my guy. But just they've conducted themselves with such dignity and poise, and I feel like it's a way to undermine all the progress that they've made, and it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous, but it certainly caught on, and there are a lot of people that feel that way. You know, that really support and follow the whole birther movement, and again, whether he's Muslim or not. And yeah, I thought it was great that he, I guess, turned over his birth certificate. Personally, I
shouldn't have had to.
It
needed to.
And Donald Trump won't even release his tax records, and he's on to Obama to like,
release his birth. There's a different standard. I think that's typical of. Just like the way like African Americans in the United States, the standard that they're held to universally. But it's especially pronounced in the political sphere.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We are going to take a brief break, but we will get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and welcome to our second edition of Common Sense. We have been reviewing the political happenings of the past week, and I wanted to talk about Hillary Clinton, who finally divulged that she had pneumonia after having to leave a 9/11 ceremony. What was your response to this, and how much privacy is a candidate allowed? I throw it out there. Whoever, go for it.
Leave her alone. Let her be sick.
Right. I mean, I do understand why she wants to present the appearance of strength because, like, especially when you're a woman running for the presidency, you have to show that you're strong enough to be the commander-in-chief and to be respected on the international stage. But, like, also, she made the joke, like, oh, I'm still allergic to Donald Trump and, like, uh-oh, I have a cold cough. But, like, there's a certain level of transparency that you have to have if you're running for the presidency. And I feel like just, like, her being sick is fine. Her having pneumonia is fine. And not even addressing it, like, not even making a large point of addressing it publicly, I think, is fine. But trying to pass it off as something lesser than it was, even when she knew she was diagnosed, I think is strange.
I really disagree with that. I think that a lot of people are very concerned with Hillary Clinton because she is perceived as old, despite Trump being older than her. Yeah. But
they're both old. It's weird.
Well, yeah, but also because of her being a woman, she's perceived as, like, very old and whatnot. But there are a lot of people that, when they see her sick, they are concerned that she won't be weak as a president and that we'll end up with President Kane or something, you know? Like
America's stepdad.
No, I think it was probably a good political move to not – I think she played it well and they did good strategy with that because, I mean, if you're sick and you really can't travel, then, like, there's nothing you can do about that. But it really cannot be a big part of her campaign because otherwise people are going to identify that as a weakness, be like, she's too old to be president, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that anytime you see a presidential candidate – like struggle to get into a car, it's kind of concerning. So I understand the concern and everything. And I think that in this age where we have such quick communication and things get around so quickly, like the candidates have to be a lot more on their toes about things. So, I mean, if it had been me, I probably would have said something just so that people weren't worried about me, like my supporters weren't worried about me and I didn't give the other side something to attack. But I can understand why she didn't do it.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like people should have sort of left her alone about it. I mean, she's sick and she can deal with that herself. And I understand like telling people not to worry about her, but to make it a huge part of her campaign isn't very good. And also like the idea that the headline is Hillary Clinton dying.
I saw one said she's dead.
Yeah, I googled Hillary Clinton the other day, and the first thing to come up was Hillary Clinton dead.
The same thing happened a little while ago with my mom told me she was reading something on Facebook, and it was a scam, of course, but Jaden Smith is dead. He committed suicide. And I, of course, believed it because people have it's sort of an infection of reading a headline, freaking out, and sending it to someone without actually reading the article. The same thing happened with the fact that I thought NASA had predicted that an asteroid was going to skim by Earth this week.
I was so excited.
It was a fake article. It was fake. I went and read the whole thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was tricked by this. And it was the exact thing it was trying to point out. So I feel like we should have like thought about the fact that, you know, it's pneumonia and she's kind of old. But we shouldn't be extremely worried about it.
I know we're going to get to immigration and the others, but how much information are we privy to? How much information do we need to know everything? I mean, when we're looking at public figures, how much information does the public have to know? Where does their privacy line start?
I think that when you enter into a career of public service, you're actively giving up not all, but a large part of your privacy. And I know we learned about the social contract in AV US history. And in order to have security, you have to give up some of your personal freedoms. And especially if you're a public figure, the way that you conduct your life and the morals that you hold inform the decisions that you're going to make. So I know that's why Anthony Weiner has fallen from grace for the third time. And it's just the way you conduct yourself in your personal life directly impacts like whether people are going to vote for you for better or for worse. And you have to acknowledge that and behave accordingly.
Okay. Other comments?
I completely agree. I think that when you step into any kind of role where people are looking at you, like celebrities included, I mean, if, you know, Jay-Z had struggled to get into a car and had, you know, stumbled around and looked weak, people would have been concerned too and they would have asked, what's going on?
They would have thought he was drunk.
Yeah. That's right.
It's true. But,
that's right.
You know,
different circumstances.
Completely.
I know. I also feel like there's a pretty significant difference, though, between, like, having an affair or like, you know, being an alcoholic or like, you know, I feel like there's a pretty significant difference between that and like getting sick. I mean, it's one thing to like, I don't know, to do something that you're not supposed to do something immoral because that is something that brings your moral fiber into question and makes people question why you're doing what you're doing. Are you really doing it for the benefit of the public? Versus, like, she got sick. We all get sick. Right. It's not that big of a deal. And I don't think that we're entitled to that much information about it because, like, I don't know. I've had pneumonia. And when I've had pneumonia, I don't want people all in my face. I am sick. I want to, like, be left alone. Like, leave her alone.
Yeah, I think I get that to a certain degree. But Hillary Clinton and, like, her campaign need to understand that she already has so many problems with credibility and like with the, you know, I hate talking about it, but you know, the emails and just like, even with the Clinton Foundation, the long line of, like, scandals that have followed the Clintons for their time in public life, she, like, if she had just acknowledged it ahead of time instead of being seen, like, on the verge of collapse, then I feel like it could have become much less of an issue than it was. And most of the problems that Hillary Clinton creates aren't because she's doing things that are wrong or immoral. It's because she acknowledges them too late. Or
she creates them.
Yeah, she's caught. Like, the things that she's caught doing aren't bad, but the fact that she has to be caught instead of just announcing, like, hey, this is what's going on with me, exactly, leads to just so much doubt and distrust. And that's not something that she needs to be dealing with.
Did you have any comments, Sarah?
Oh, I mean, sure. I want to speak in general terms, not just about the political candidates. I understand that when you step into the spotlight, you're sort of exposing yourself. And I understand the consequences that come with that. But knowing every little thing about a person, a celebrity, a candidate, whoever it might be, is very 1984-esque, like, you know, the book, not the actual time period. But there's no more privacy. And I think that's sort of a bad thing because we all need that sort of comfort of privacy, that this one thing that you don't really want to tell anybody that you're doing, nobody's going to figure it out. But as a celebrity, they're definitely going to figure it out. And they're going to post it everywhere. And it's going to be everywhere until it dies down again. And that's not very good, I think.
Well, we're going to get into immigration. And we need to talk about third party, but we'll talk about that next time. Just the evolution of third party. The presidential race has highlighted the long debate over immigration in the U.S. Republican candidate Donald Trump rallies, build a wall, a 2,000-mile wall, and Mexico will pay for it. It's estimated that 11 million undocumented immigrants live in the United States. Many are from Mexico. Let's look at immigration. Trump says build a wall. What do you say? Mexico says they'll pay for it.
Yeah. It's a little unrealistic, don't you think?
Yeah. Nice dream, you know, but it's just... I don't know.
What are the issues surrounding immigration? What are the concerns?
I think people are scared of undocumented immigrants, which doesn't really make sense because if you're undocumented or documented, it doesn't really matter. But not the stigmatization, the
demonization?
Yeah. No. It's sorry, I can't think of the word.
It's all right. It'll come back.
The stereotype. That's what it is. The stereotype of people, not only from Mexico, just people in general coming to the country illegally. You think they're maybe bringing something, or they're bringing crime. They're you know, Donald. I'm not going to go into Donald Trump's thing that you always see every time.
Right.
But
Well, you know, they say they're taking American jobs and they're costing billions of dollars in social services that we have to pay for. Feel free to go right ahead.
Oh, I'd say on the point of they're taking our jobs, the undocumented immigrant life in America isn't – it's obviously not ideal. They're not privy to the American dream that a lot of, you know, legal immigrants are allowed to pursue. And the jobs that they're typically, you know, delegated to are like migrant work, things that – nor like those are not the jobs that legal Americans want to do, and they're essential. And I think that it's really tragic that instead of focusing on the issues that undocumented immigrants face, we're constantly demonizing them, because the work that they're doing is hard, and it's also essential to like the functioning of American agriculture and just like American manufacturing in general. And if you deported, also like the logistical like nightmare of deporting, and I think impossibility of deporting every illegal immigrant within the United States, who will want to and who will be willing to fill their jobs if they're removed?
And I think that just something that's kind of like personally concerning about the process of illegal immigration and deportation is that a lot of it will separate families. Like, I know with the DREAM Act, that protects for children, but that doesn't protect for their parents. So
right.
I know I've heard of examples of people who are in elementary school, middle school, who came home one day to find that their parents were deported because there's just no protection system for that. But I also – something that really concerns me is, like, detention centers that are built like prisons, and you can have people there for, like, however amount of time. And – when a lot of immigrants send remittances home to their families, and when that is a responsibility that you have, or when you have other family members living within the United States who might be totally legal, like, that's a problem. You can't just lock people up without, like, telling anyone or making any sort of arrangements for their families.
Which makes me wonder, when Trump says, comes out with his, what he considers profound statements, do people ever think about him? I mean, there is no way in the world that we could deport 11 million people. I don't see how we could build a 2,000-mile wall between the United States and Mexico. Oh. Yeah, I mean, exactly. To me, that's just so far-fetched. Why even?
The example he's, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
It's real quick. The example he's been using is the Great Wall of China, but China got invaded a lot, so I don't know that it's that effective.
And the wall doesn't go around all around the country.
No. Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, I know we weren't going to bring third parties in yet, but Gary Johnson said a 10-foot wall only needs an 11-foot ladder. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
Even if you were to build a wall, if you want to get in, you're going to find a way to get in. That's mm-hmm. that's just the main story. It's like you can lock your doors to your house, but if someone wants to break into your house, they're going to break in.
Right, exactly.
I mean, yeah. Immigration is a big, clunky monster right now. I mean, it takes a long time to process anything, the way immigration mm-hmm. is set up right now. I think that, like she was saying, the detention centers that are set up like prisons, just if we streamline things, it would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think we focus as a country, we focus a lot on punishment of illegal immigrants instead of trying to help them. I mean, the naturalization process is hard. I mean, I know that my mom can become a citizen now, but I mean, she just hasn't chosen to because you have to go through everything. She's lived here long enough. On a visa that she can, but it's just like we don't try to like negatively reinforce them by like. Saying, oh, you have to go through all of this and then you can become a citizen. We just sort of ship them out of here as fast as we can, and we don't take into account that they could be doing the stuff that we need them to. They could be helping us. And
they're valuable. They have very valuable contributions that they bring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only the wall, but what about the ban on Muslims?
Yeah.
Okay. Nation, he expanded it, any nation that has been compromised by terrorism, you know, a ban on those individuals coming in.
He's trying to kick us out of the UN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's changed his wording now to extreme vetting mm-hmm. and, proposing ideological tests for people that are entering. And I know Trevor Noah did something that I thought was hilarious where he made Trump supporters take the ideology test mm-hmm. and showing that, like, they weren't open to religious freedom because there's a lot of Islamophobia that they were, like, perpetrating. But I also think that, like, I understand that we have to maintain secure borders and that we have to make sure that the people coming to our country share American values. But the people that are fleeing to the U.S., especially, like, refugees, they're fleeing, like, from Aleppo and from the Syrian mm-hmm. refugee crisis.
Aleppo, what's that?
I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I had a vague idea, and then after seeing his gaffe, I informed myself. So, you know, thank you, Gary Johnson. Now I've learned. But, it's... Yeah, there's just...
So sad. There's, on national TV.
Maybe that'll be us.
We'll never get to the national debate now.
No. Still, I think, like, there's a very acute need for security, but there's such a human factor to the refugees that are coming, like the sea of refugees that are just coming into the U.S., and they're all humans who all have personal mm-hmm. narratives and that all want to achieve the same things as, you know, American citizens. And when we talk about them as potential terrorists or as threats to the United States, then we dehumanize the vast majority of refugees and immigrants that are just seeking a better life.
I also think that that to say that he wants to encourage extreme vetting is just very ignorant of the immigration process that mm-hmm. actually exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the process for Syrian refugees takes, for immigration, at the minimum a year and a half, if not 2 years, 3 years, at which point their town might be blown up, their family might be dead. You know, it's just like, it is a very strenuous process. Extreme vetting, like, what extreme vetting can we not already be doing, you know?
Right. It's, It's a really interesting issue, immigration is, because we were founded to be a nation of immigrants.
Indeed.
And the argument against immigration for Syrian refugees is that it only takes one mistake in the clearance, you know, for ISIS to slip one person in.
Right.
And that's – I mean, that's a real concern you can never get rid of.
Right.
But it could happen with anyone. I mean, it happens within our own country.
It could happen with anyone.
Foreign immigrants.
We have our own homegrown.
Yeah, I mean, those people in Minnesota that turned out to be working for ISIS when they committed their terrorist acts. It's just, you know, it will happen whether we want it or to or not.
Well, on the flip side, Hillary proposes that we give undocumented immigrants a path to citizenship. You know, how do you feel about that? What do you think? Is that the way to go?
I agree with that because I think that the dangers of undocumented immigrants, it mostly just relates to working under the table and like not having just – I'm a big believer that we need to really understand what's going on in our country. And I think that when you have undocumented immigrants in our country, it just – it's a lot harder to really understand where money is going, where it's coming from, how money is flowing across borders. I think that it's a really good idea to offer a path to citizenship because I think that it's important that we realize that these are people and they don't want to take our jobs. They just want to do the best for their family and they realize that America offers a lot of benefits and that America offers a lot of opportunities. And I don't think they should be punished for that.
You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break. Tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome students from the IB program, Quinn Huckabee, Olivia Saunders, Hannah Kuros, and Sarah Harbert. We have been talking about the immigration policies that are promoted by Donald Trump. We've got to look at Hillary Clinton before we move on, okay?
Yeah.
Got to be fair now.
Of course.
Hillary says, you know, that, hey, we definitely don't need a ban on Muslims, and it goes against everything that we stand for. But, you know, historically, the United States has had a love-hate relationship with immigrants. I mean, everybody here is an immigrant. Initially, you know, Protestants felt like they were the gifted ones because they came here first, and then but we needed immigrants to develop the country. So who qualifies? Who? What do you think?
I don't know. I think I have a unique perspective, but definitely not exceptional in the broad landscape of America. As a first-generation immigrant to be born inside of the U.S., because, like, my family, it's kind of like, we believe that, like, you know, like, the human population, like, kind of just dispersed from Ethiopia, but we decided to just, like, chill for all of human history until now. So, yeah, we just kind of headed out. But I don't know, because there's, again, to bring it back to the beginning, a lot of people try to illegitimize President Obama as being an American, and there was the controversy with Donald Trump saying that the Mexican judge who was born in the U.S. is an American. And I think the term American is so fluid since we are a nation based on immigrants. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you are a citizen of the United States, then you are by definition an American. And I think we've always had a complicated definition with not definition, but, you know, a complicated relationship with immigrants. But without them, like, we wouldn't be able to define our country as a whole.
I know. You can go all down the line from Catholics to, you know, Germans to Chinese.
I wonder who the next ones will be. Probably Africans. Yeah, but, like, well, no, I'm good.
I mean, It's a long line. Honestly, who would be the first? Who would not be immigrants? Native Americans,
and right?
They kind of suffered a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that Anglo-Saxons. Who is it? And to me, everyone's an immigrant, except maybe the Native Americans. So to me, America is immigration. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I think we ought to acknowledge, though, is that since most of us are young, we have and the cross section that we live in Tallahassee, we're presenting pretty liberal approaches to immigration. And I guess we do acknowledge that domestic concerns do have to, be the primary concern of a nation. And also just that even though we're a nation based on immigrants, how many, to what capacity, because, the global population is getting so big, we're going to have to reach our carrying capacity eventually. So immigrants are cool, but to what degree?
On the other hand, and I'm not, I definitely agree with what you're saying, but to kind of counter that, though, what many of Donald Trump's supporters would consider to be real Americans or the white Protestant, quote unquote natural born American citizens, that birth rate is declining and immigration is helping to kind of make sure that American culture continues in its various forms. It's just from a numbers standpoint, it's good to have an influx of immigration because it ensures that our democracy will live on.
Yeah.
Okay. Other comments?
From the standpoint of someone who, I guess I didn't technically immigrate because I am a natural citizen, but I'm not I wasn't born in America, but my dad was. It's weird, but it's kind of strange because I feel they should be here as much as we should. Everybody keeps saying, we're built off of immigrants. That's how we became to be a nation.
Exactly.
And it's important that we kind of incorporate all these different things into the American population because, they're important. They make up who we are and what we stand for and what we believe in. And if you look around at big cities, you're going to find people from everywhere. There's no way that a big city is going to have a population of all white people. It doesn't make sense. Or all natural born white people. You could be white and from Russia or white from Canada, like me or something like that. So, but
the secret's out. Oh no.
I know it's not. important, but it's not.
It's cool. I know, especially. A lot of my family members are trying to come to the U.S. My aunt was trying to get her visa approved just to visit because we haven't seen her in so long. And my grandmother's trying to come here for, emergency medical treatment. Mm. And that process is ridiculously long. And especially for her, it's dangerous because, I care about my grandma. I want her to be healthy and taken care of. And it's just it's such a complex process. And the vetting process for who gets to become an American is already so strict. So I feel like extreme vetting would be nearly equivalent to just shutting down immigration because the process is already so complicated and long, and the people that need to come here, they're the lucky ones, and they're they have an urgency that we need to address, and we're doing them and their humanity a disservice.
Very much so. But and in talking about immigration, it leads us directly into economics.
Yeah.
There we go. Right. Okay, right. Hannah, yeah. It's on you.
Oh, we're just trying to, domestic. I looked at the Pew Research Center and Gallup polls on the most important issues to Americans in the 2016 election. And the first five were terrorism, terrorism, terrorism.
Right.
And next episode, that'll be our entire focus. So
okay, we're going to talk about terrorism.
Yeah, that's good. But I know just for now, if you don't have a strong economy, then there's little incentive for immigration. And there's, I don't know, it's a pretty important issue to most of the people that are living and working and paying for things in the U.S.
What do you all see as the issues surrounding economy?
Taxes.
Wealth taxes inequality.
Taxes, wealth inequality. Those two are really interrelated, and that's the biggest issue to me
okay.
in this election.
Yeah. I know,
Like, it's not really important to me, but I know that a big issue in this election has been TPP and Donald Trump saying he didn't want NAFTA. And, you know,
yeah, right. But you're mostly for it, so probably next episode. But, I know we're such strange teenagers. We're all, like, pretty into both of their tax plans and are pretty well informed.
Why does that make you strange?
I don't know. I feel like not the most riveting.
I mean, we spent lunch period, like, trying to research stuff for this. Mm-hmm. We have stuff to talk about.
We'll go right ahead.
It was great.
I think it's really funny what Donald Trump's ideas for economics are. And we had a discussion about this, how we were laughing about it. And he boasts that he's going to have, you know, he's going to make the most jobs of anyone ever.
Right.
He wants to lower corporate...
You know, he's the superlative of superlatives.
Oh, okay. true, yeah. He wants to lower corporate tax and income. Mm-hmm. He wants to eliminate the Department of Energy and Education... and wants to put tariffs on China and Mexico. And so, like, he would need to...
Are these reasonable? Do you all see these?
No, they're not reasonable at all. I mean, he would have to decrease our debt by... Or $1.4 trillion debt by 12% to cover his $5 billion deficit. So it just makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. One thing that scares me is he wants to, like, retreat from the global economy, which freaks me out because we're living in such, like, a globalistic world.
But isn't that so contradictory to his own business?
Yeah. And I know I know, like, it's a tenet of republicanism to reduce taxes so that the people can spend and consume. And the thing is, I know Donald Trump wants to limit taxation of businesses' income to 15% for every business. He wants to simplify taxes for everyone and lower taxes for everyone. But, like, to do that, you need to cut from federal spending in the federal budget. And I saw, I think it was from the Tax Policy Center, that it could increase the national debt by nearly 80% if we actually followed all of his tax plans. And in order to cover that, we would have to completely cut the U.S. military. And it's just their tax breaks are fantastic. I know taxes are burned on so many people, but you can't lower taxes and still have cool things like roads and like healthcare and basic human functions. And I'm pretty into those things. So, like, I'm pretty into taxes.
Well, and something that really... I'm sorry,
Quinn. No, that's fine.
And something that really bothered me was that he lowered taxes on the super wealthy by a lot, which, I mean, makes sense because he's one of them. But, like, it's just very frustrating, like Sarah said, with wealth inequality because, like, I mean, everyone gets tax breaks, but the people that need it the most are not getting the most tax breaks. I think that the system of tax brackets that exists is, like, if it were followed by everyone, I think that it would be a pretty effective way of, like, kind of balancing wealth inequality in America. And I think that simplifying tax brackets is not the answer to that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that it's not the commonest of knowledge that you can actually use a conservative traditional tax flat rate and you can still benefit everyone as long as you do it right. You have to use the taxes for businesses, right? And that's what we're not doing. The way taxes for businesses are set up is very confusing for businesses, and it takes a long time. And also, some of them get tax breaks, which, you know,
that's a huge issue.
So, one, it's clunky for some businesses that aren't super big, and two, the super big ones get a lot of breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's the biggest issue here, and that's what he should be focusing on if he wanted to actually help his case, is to focus on the businesses. But he's a businessman, so he won't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, with what Quinn said, we were watching a video in our theory of knowledge class on wealth inequality around the globe, and surprisingly, like 300 of the world's wealthiest people have more than – or not – yeah, mm-hmm. 300 billion people.
Right.
And that's crazy. And I think part of it might come from the fact that we don't tax the rich that much. And people take money from smaller countries.
They have all kind of loopholes. You know?
And I mean, Donald Trump says he's going to try to close loopholes, but I have a feeling that he probably won't. I mean, he's a businessman. Why would you close the things that are benefiting you?
Yeah, I looked at the Tax Policy Center a lot because they're like supposed to be like fairly nonpartisan and, you know, not trying to tip scales in either way. And I know that Donald Trump's tax plan actually taxed the wealthy more than than Ted Cruz's did. But I also, I don't know, I just acknowledge the fact that Hillary Clinton, her tax plan, she wants to add another tax bracket for, I think, the super wealthy. And the wealthy are already, like, taxed, like, incredible rates, almost 50% of their income. But they also have benefited so much from the system of, like, American taxation and the opportunities that America can allow its citizens through taxes that I feel like that's cool. And they're only paying those taxes on, let's say, like, if they made $5 billion and $1, mm-hmm. they would only pay, like, maybe a 40% tax for over $5 billion on that $1 that's over that limit. So it's not as if it's – I don't know. It's
depends
not as if,
on where they have their money.
It's not as if you won't be able to run your business, or it's not as if you'll be completely stripped of everything that you've worked so hard for. It's just that I feel if you've – been enabled by American taxation to succeed, you should be paying that system back.
Well, as we talk about taxes, and this is just a little sidebar, how do you feel about Donald Trump not releasing? is it important at all? Does it matter as we're talking about taxes?
I think he needs to, but I don't think he will because I think I know what's in them, or rather what's not in them. To me, I think that he needs – if he were able to prove definitively that he paid his taxes in full, I think that would be a great thing for his campaign because it would increase his credibility with more moderate Republican voters. But he's not going to release those tax returns because, I mean, it's pretty likely that – there's something fishy going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if those tax returns were to be released, it would be the end of his campaign, which, I mean, would be awesome for me. But I know.
Like, Republican candidate, please.
The excuse that his taxes are under audit is so ridiculous because you can still release your taxes when they're under audit. I know we had to do that for my sister because, like, when we were signing her up for college mm-hmm. in order to get financial aid based on the tax returns that we were going to get. And, like, there's a precedent in, like, modern American politics where you release your tax returns. And I know, like, Hillary Clinton has her trouble with transparency. Donald Trump does, too. They're both, seriously imperfect candidates. But, you know, like, I think, you know, one is clearly the lesser of two evils. And if you're living in a democracy, like, vote for the lesser of two evils. That's compromise. That's what democracy is about. But, like, it's just he very obviously isn't releasing them because he knows that a lot of Americans think that he's, like, a slime ball, and that would confirm their suspicions.
Well, and I think, too, that it just – it adds to the illegitimacy of his candidacy. And also I'm thinking of relating back to when Hillary Clinton was sick – when she – after she – or I can't remember if it was when she was sick or after she got sick, but she released her health records and, like, that's publicly cool. And published them. But, mm-hmm. Which is great because I think I do think that's an important factor in choosing a candidate, and her record showed that she was healthy. Whereas, like, Donald Trump didn't release them publicly. He forwarded them to Dr. Oz to put on his television show. To me, that's a very, like, Donald Trump thing to do.
Of course.
But it's not a very presidential thing to do because, like, especially if you want to encourage transparency and the view of you as a transparent person, because, I mean, he thinks he's, like, the realist.
I thought it was funny him releasing up to Oz. Isn't he Muslim?
Dr. No, Oz? He's not, what? But he is under review because the Columbia Health Board thinks he's a crack.
Yeah, which is right.
He kind
that's
of
true,
is.
Too.
He kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's smart of him because he knows how many eyes are on the Dr. Oz show. And one thing that I think we have to praise Donald Trump for is that, like, his ability to manipulate the media to understand, like, 21st century modes of, like,
without
communication.
Yeah.
No, he uses, like, one phrase or a couple phrases, and he repeats it over and over again in his campaigns. It's amazing. You remember
that. And all
them.
He has to do is say, trust me, believe me. I mean, and he doesn't have to offer any support on anything, but just trust me, okay?
Yeah, it's – man, I feel bad for the Republican Party right now.
Thank you.
And you want to speak
Quinn
on
says,
that?
Thank you.
Oh, it's so hard because I'm a moderate conservative, but – and – I mean, I wouldn't normally vote for Clinton if I could vote, if I was in a normal, because, you know, I just don't agree with all of her economic policies. But when you have someone like Trump who's now breaking apart the Republican Party, and
that's it.
I feel like the Republican Party needs to revamp everything.
Well, we'll end on that. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.